Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop a new lyric video for my single, In Me I Trust. You can check that out on my official YouTube site, youtube.com/KatieTrop. Or you could go to my official website, katietrop.net, and check it out up there. You can also find my preferred sports books as well on my official website, katietrop.net. Just head to the Sports Talk with Trop tab, click on that. Right at the top of the page, you'll see a banner that says Sports Talk with Trop's preferred sports books. Click on that, and you will have a selection of a few sports books you could sign up for in participating states. So let's get into week 11. We had some clear separation between some good teams and some terrible teams. And then we also had some teams who are still fighting, actually continue to fight. So let's get started with the snooze fest that I expected it to be. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. Neither of these teams are good at all offensively, and that showed in yesterday's game where the Browns just barely got the win 13-10. Yeah, 13-10, that's what kind of a game it was for both teams offensively. The Browns, though, defensively are just killing it. Myles Garrett, he once again was getting at the quarterback, and the Steelers were also getting at the quarterback as well, but the Browns just made enough plays to get the win. And even their new quarterback came in, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. He came in on the last drive and took them right down the field, set them up in field goal position, and they were able to get the walk-off field goal win in that one. And the Steelers, even though offensively they're pretty terrible, it seems these last couple of weeks they have finally found a running back worth of crap in Warren. He had 129 yards and a touchdown. So even though the Steelers did not get the win, it seems that he has had a second week of an outburst on the ground. So maybe they have somebody finally to produce offensively. But other than him, there's a lot of questions, and the Steelers looked terrible offensively. But the Browns didn't look that much better offensively. Defensively, they look spectacular, but I feel like at some point their offense is going to cost them some games. But lucky for them, they were playing the Steelers, who are that much worse on the offensive side of the ball. Then we had the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions, which actually ended up being a really damn good game. As a matter of fact, the Bears were pretty much in control of this game for the majority of the game until the fourth quarter. That's when the Lions finally got it going. Jared Goff had probably the worst game he's had of the season. He had three interceptions, and I mean, two of them were right off of the bat. So it was a pretty bad game for him, but he just stayed in there. He kept it going, and in the fourth quarter, the Lions were able to make a run. They ended up scoring 17 points in the fourth quarter, ended up getting the win 31-26, but it was close. I mean, the Bears, like I said, had control of this game from the jump, which was very shocking. But the Lions were able to work their way through, get the win. And like I said, Jared Goff, he didn't have that great of a game, but he still had 236 yards and two touchdowns. And Justin Fields was back for the Bears, and he ended up having 104 yards rushing. And then DJ Moore, he had 96 yards and a touchdown. So overall, not a terrible game for the Bears, but the Lions were able to get the win. Then we had the Los Angeles Chargers at the Green Bay Packers, and the Chargers continue to just do what the Chargers continue to do. You know, they had the lead for the majority of this game, and then the Packers worked their way back in the second half, and they ended up getting the win 23-20. And this Chargers defense is getting blown up, which says a lot because their coach Staley, he is a defensive coach. So if your team looks terrible on that side of the ball, there's a problem, and there's been problems with this team from the jump. I mean, he's terrible at situational football. They continue to lose these really close games, but then defensively, they are like one of the worst teams in the league defensively. They get blown up in the secondary, and I mean, really, Khalil Mack is about their only good thing to say about them defensively. And he did have a couple of sacks yesterday. But other than that, you know, Bosa, he ended up going out with an injury. So who knows what's going to happen there. And then, of course, Staley was questioned once again in his post-game press conference, and he looked like a little bitch. He was getting all flustered and upset yet again. I'm actually kind of shocked that this dude still has a job today, because the Packers, not a very good team, but they still stayed in it, and they ended up getting the win in the end, 23-20, if I did not say that. Jordan Love actually looked like a very solid quarterback. He had 322 yards and two touchdowns, and then on the other side of things, Keenan Allen, once again, for the Chargers, had an amazing game, 116 yards and a touchdown. But just overall, this Chargers team keeps giving up these wins that they should get. And then Staley's having these press conferences where he's just throwing little temper tantrums, looks like a little bitch. And like I said, I'm shocked this dude still has a job today. The Chargers are always known for just quitting on coaches pretty quick. And so far, they haven't done that with this guy. And they really need to, because he is terrible. But hey, Packers got a win, and Chargers did not. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins were able to hang on 20-13. Tua Tagovailoa had 325 yards and two touchdowns. Raheem Mostert had 86 yards on the ground, and then Tyreek Hill had 146 yards and a touchdown. So the big three took care of business. The Raiders were able to keep in it. It's just they turned the ball over on the last drive. Jalen Ramsey had his second interception on the season to cap off their win, and the Dolphins would walk away with the win. Then we had the New York Giants at the Washington Commanders, and this was very shocking, but the Giants not only got the win, but they dominated this game. That's the first time you could say that about the Giants all season long, is them actually dominating a game. And they did. They got the win 31-19. And Sam Howell had three interceptions to the Giants. So defensively, they were really getting it done. But I don't know what happened with the Giants, but they were able to actually score some touchdowns in this one and get a dominating win. Then we had the Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jaguars got back in business. They got a huge win, 34-14. Trevor Lawrence had 262 yards and two touchdowns through the air. Calvin Ridley was his receiver of choice yesterday with 103 yards and two touchdowns. And it was just an overall domination from the Jaguars from start to finish. And the Titans just scored a couple of touchdowns just in the third and the fourth quarter. But overall, Jaguars got back into business. Then we had my Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers. This went as expected. Cowboys got the win 33-10. Dak Prescott had a very efficient day, 189 yards and two touchdowns. Tony Pollard finally had a breakout day. He had 61 yards and a touchdown. His first touchdown he scored on the ground since week one, so that says a lot about him. But the big one was cornerback Deron Bland had yet another pick six. He has now tied the league record with four interceptions returned for touchdowns. And I mean, it's just crazy. He is the fill-in for Trayvon Diggs. And it was questionable on what was going to happen there. And now it's more like, well, shit, I can't wait till Diggs gets back, because then we've got Diggs and Bland back there. That's going to be crazy. But until then, we've got Bland, and the guy is taking care of business. And the Cowboys took care of business, as they should, against the Panthers. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Houston Texans, and this actually ended up being a back-and-forth affair as well. And C.J. Stroud did it yet again. He had three interceptions, but he also had a huge bounce-back game where he just did not let up. He ended up with 336 yards and two touchdowns on the day. Their running back Singletary had 112 yards and a touchdown. And then Dell, the wide receiver, had 149 yards and a touchdown. So even though the Cardinals put in a good game, the Texans were able to still walk away with the win 21-16. Then we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the San Francisco 49ers, and the 49ers just did what the 49ers do. They absolutely dominated from start to finish, 27-14. Brock Purdy had a perfect quarterback rating on the day. He had 333 yards through the air and three touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey also had 78 yards on the ground, and Brandon Ayuk had 156 yards through the air and a touchdown, and a dominating win by the San Francisco 49ers. Then we had the New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. And as I figured, this was going to be the exact opposite of the first matchup. The Bills just absolutely dominated in this one, 32-6. Zach Wilson has finally officially been benched today. He has not only been benched, but he is now the third string quarterback, as he should be. He was finally benched in the second half yesterday. The dude has been completely unwatchable. And yes, I know they don't really have anybody else to turn to, but at this point in the season, you just got to get something else going out there because the guy is just turnover central. He has no idea what's going on. So he has officially been benched. But the Bills, they finally had a huge breakout game offensively. Josh Allen had 275 yards and three touchdowns. And his receiver of choice was Shakir with 115 yards and a touchdown. So that was basically the game that the Bills really needed and the game that the Jets really did not need. And also all this talk about Aaron Rodgers potentially coming back from his torn Achilles next month. He should not do that just because this team is terrible. This offensive line is terrible. Just wait until next season, dude, because there is going to be nothing for you to play for this Jets team. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the Los Angeles Rams, and the Rams were able to eke out this win 17-16 with a walk-off game-winning field goal. Geno Smith had 233 yards and a touchdown. He would leave the game due to an injury but would come back into the game. And then we also had their running back, Kenny Walker III. He would end up missing the majority, I know he missed the second half. I can't remember which quarter he went out in, but he would ultimately end up suffering an injury, and that's no good because they've got they will be playing Thanksgiving football on Thursday, so they definitely need Walker. He's their huge source of offense. I feel like that's the reason why they ended up letting this one slip away because he ended up leaving the game. And DK Metcalf also had a pretty big game, 94 yards and a touchdown, but the Rams were able to put it together, especially in the fourth quarter, put together two really solid drives to get the win 17-16. And then we had a very good game to close out the night, Sunday Night Football, Minnesota Vikings versus the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos defense once again held it down. This time they just kept getting at Dobbs, getting him to just make the few mistakes that he made. And then the Broncos just, you know, kept plugging away, kept kicking field goals, and then were able to put together a nice, solid game-winning drive in the end and get the win 21-20. Russell Wilson would end up with 259 yards and a touchdown, and Cortland Sutton, his wide receiver of choice, would end up with 66 yards and a touchdown and a big win for the Denver Broncos. Then tonight's game, big Monday Night Football matchup, a Super Bowl rematch between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite. I just personally feel like the Eagles are the better team overall, defensively, offensively. They just have a lot more going on weapons-wise, whereas the Chiefs, they've been winning only ugly games for the most part. They really haven't looked good in a lot of their games so far, and I feel like this is not the team that you want to go up against and have an ugly game against. So I've got the Eagles winning a close one, 23-20. And so let's move on to basketball. Now that we've got a couple of weeks of basketball under our belts, let's get to the top 10 NBA power rankings. And not a whole lot of shifting at the top, but we do have a couple of new teams to talk about. I do kind of feel like the first month or two of basketball is very shaky. Things are going to change up. And we actually do, though, have a team in the top 10 I did not expect to even discuss at all this year. So let's get right to it. Beginning with number one, still the Boston Celtics. I mean, they are playing the best basketball right now. They're 11-2. They're currently on a 6-game winning streak. Jason Tatum is just having yet another amazing season. Drew Holiday is fitting right in. And also fitting right in is Kristaps Porzingis. He, for once, has yet to suffer an injury. The key word there is yet, but so far the guy has been money since they've picked him up in the offseason. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Philadelphia 76ers. Overall record of 10-3. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. Joel Embiid right now is averaging 32 points per game, which leads the league. He's also averaging about 11 rebounds per game, and he's just been dominating pretty much every game that he's been in this season. But Tyrese Maxey, he has just elevated his game to yet another level. This is, I believe, his third year in the league, and he has taken over this this lead point guard role and is flourishing so far in the role. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Sacramento Kings. Overall record of 8-4, and they are currently on a 6-game winning streak, which is why they have completely shot up my top 10 this week. De'Aaron Fox is back from his injury, and he went off this weekend. And then you've got Sabonis as well, who has been continuing to have a great season. And so the Kings look to be back into they played great last year, and now they look to be back to their old form from last year, now that Fox is back from his injury. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 9-4. They are currently on a 4-game winning streak. And Damian Lillard seems to be finally fitting in. Him and Giannis are really getting it going. And then, of course, you've got the old journeyman, Brook Lopez. The dude just never goes away. He is having yet another great season and being a huge driving force for this Bucks team, which is very shocking just because you've got Lillard and Giannis, who are, of course, the spotlight, but Lopez is right there playing great basketball. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 9-4. Now, there's nothing really bad about this team at all. It's just that they've lost the last couple of games. And with other teams here ahead of them who are on 6-game winning streaks and 4-game winning streaks and really starting to get it going, I couldn't put them above them. But still, the Nuggets are one of the best teams in the league. Jokic having yet another triple-double, crazy season as always, and I mean, this team is still dominating, this team is still damn good, it's just they aren't on a crazy winning streak like the rest of these teams, so they fell back a bit, but they're still the defending champs and still one of the best teams in the league. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Dallas Mavericks. Overall record of 9-5. They have started to fall back just a bit, because they are very heavily Luka reliant, and their defensive issues have been the biggest problem in all five of their losses. And the problem is because they're basically letting the team, opposing teams, score at about 126 points on them, and that's just not going to cut it. That means offense is going to have to score at least 127 a night. And while that's not an extreme issue, at some point it's going to become an issue as the season wears on. And it's shown in their five losses so far. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 9-3. And Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards, and Karl Anthony Towns are really, really starting to look good together. It feels like each and every game, one of those guys takes over, has a huge game, and is a big reason as to why they win. So this might be the year. Now, I hesitate to say that because it's very, very early in the season still, but this might be the year that the Timberwolves can actually put it together with these three guys and actually do something, because these are three really damn good players. They could easily be number ones on any given team that they're on, but the three of them together starting to gel, starting to work well together, and who knows, if they're able to put it together, they could be one of these really good teams, because Gobert and Cat in the middle, and then you've got Ant, who could just go off any given night, drop 40, drop 50. The guy is money. And the other two, they could also drop 40 or 50 as well. It's just that defensively, there's something else. And like I said, with the Mavs, their problem is defense. So they go up against a team like the Timberwolves, and they've got Gobert and Cat in the middle there. That could be a problem for some teams. So we'll see what's going on with the Timberwolves, if they're able to maintain this throughout the season. But so far, this big three of theirs, they're starting to mesh. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 8-5. They're currently on a 3-game winning streak. And I mean, defensively, this team is really damn good. Offensively, not bad. You've got Brunson, who's having a solid season yet again. You got Randall having a solid season. But then you've got RJ Barrett, who's starting to get it going. He could be that potential third guy, because the Knicks, that's what they need. Defensively, there are no questions about it, but it's just at some point, it's going to be too much for Brunson, and if he gets taken out of a game, either due to injury or just too much defense on him, it's going to be an issue, and I don't know. They might need to make a trade for somebody at some point in the season. Might need to make some type of move, but right now the Knicks are actually looking like a pretty solid team at this point in the season. And then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Miami Heat, overall record of 8-5. It's very shocking because even though the Heat are playing pretty well, it's not really because of Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's actually been having a pretty quiet season so far. It's really been all about Bam Adebayo. And like I said, it's been pretty shocking that they've played this well because not only is Butler having a quiet season, but Tyler Hero's been out the last week now, and he's going to miss at least another couple of weeks probably due to his injury. So Adebayo's been the dude. He's really taken over. He's really playing some excellent basketball. And he's had the Heat in it. I mean, they're coming off of a big win streak. Last week, they were on, I believe, a 5-game winning streak, something like that. So they were the hottest team in the league at one point. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, the team I thought I was not going to really be discussing at all, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are 10-4 on the season. They are currently on a 5-game winning streak. You've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander having a great season so far, but it's really all about their rookie. You know, he was technically a rookie last year, but he missed all of last season because he was injured in preseason basketball. But Chet Holmgren, dude has been going off. So far, he's really paying off and making a real big case right now for Rookie of the Year, even though it's very, very early. But Chet Holmgren, he's been a huge force for this team. And, you know, this team has really been going off. Right now, they're first in the league in field goal percentage, averaging about 50.3 percentage on their field goals right now. And then three-point percentage is also in first place in the league right now, averaging about 41% from three-point land. So they are really, really getting it done. They're very efficient. They're scoring a lot of points. And like I said, Chet Holmgren is looking really good. And then we still have this in-season tournament going on. Like I said, it's very convoluted. It's weird because during the week, you've got regular season games going on that don't involve this in-season tourney. And then there are two games out of the week that are in the in-season tourney. I believe it's Tuesday and Friday games or Thursday and Friday. I don't remember, but basically, that's still going on, so let's do a little bit of update where we are on that. So far, leading East Group A, the Pacers are 2-0 in that group. And then the Detroit Pistons, who are arguably the worst team in the league right now, I believe they are on an 11-game losing streak. They are officially out of the tournament. Now, when I say a team is out, they will still be playing. It just means that they have no shot at moving on to the next round. Then leading East Group B right now, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Heat are both tied at 2-0, and the Washington Wizards are officially out. And then in East Group C right now, the Celtics lead at 2-0. Then turning to the West, West Group A is being absolutely dominated by my Lakers right now at 3-0, and the Grizzlies are officially out of that group. West Group B, the Pelicans and Nuggets are tied right now at 2-1. And then West Group C, the Kings are leading that one at 2-0, and the Spurs are officially out of that one. And the Spurs are also one of the worst teams in the league. I think they're on like a 8-game winning streak, nine-game losing streak, something terrible like that. Wembanyama's had a very kind of a streaky season so far, but I mean, he's a rookie, so don't get too upset. I mean, he looks damn good when he's playing. It's just you're going to have ups and downs, especially when you play for such a terrible team like the Spurs. So that's where we're at the in-season tournament. Like I said, very convoluted. Who the fuck knows what's going on with that? But I am very shocked that my Lakers are absolutely dominating right now in the in-season tournament. But talk about up and down. They have been up and down all season long. And, of course, Anthony Davis has been injured on and off as well. So we have that to look forward to. But that's what we had going on this weekend with sports. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports and enjoy this juggernaut matchup of Monday Night Football. And I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.